The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Good evening and welcome to 49ers After Dark. We're your host, Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor. The Niners had practice today. We're talking about practice today, but they also had news. Juwan Jennings got an extension, and it was kind of surprising because Brandon Ayuk wants an extension. They just drafted a wide receiver, and it seems like this was the last order of business, but it became the first order of business. And so I need to talk to my good pal, Jesse, to make sense of this all. What does this mean, Brandon Ayuk?
And this is the most confusing signing that the 49ers could have made. And it's not because Jennings isn't a good player. We know how much he means to this team. I remember a couple seasons ago, Fred Warner was talking to Sherman on a podcast, and he said that he felt like Jennings was the best football player on the team. So as far as the impact of Jennings, it makes sense to want to keep him in the building and keep him happy. That being said, you've got your number one wide receiver out here, unpaid, not showing up to OTAs that are voluntary. So what does this mean for his deal? Does it put pressure on him? And then you've got a rookie wide receiver, Grant, that you just drafted, who's 24 years old, that presumably would be better in the slot. But now you're keeping Jennings through next year. I just don't know what this fully means for Ayuk and his situation. And really, more so, more importantly, Pearsall and his development. I don't know, man. You help me make sense of this, Grant, because I really don't understand this one right now.
Well, I mean, part of it is that his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. So Drew Rosenhaus is smart, and I feel like the Niners put themselves in an awkward position when they gave Colton Kivitz a one-year extension through 2025. Like, how are you not going to do that for Juwan Jennings after you did that for Colton? Probably there wasn't that much more money. He's a more important player. He scores touchdowns. Colton doesn't, as the 49ers put it. I think the Niners set the precedent for it. Not asking for that much money. You can afford him. He came up big in the Super Bowl. It just seemed to make sense. It's like it's in their budget. He has chemistry with Brock Purdy. Like, what's the reason not to do this? But the impact on Brandon Ayuk is that, I don't know, maybe the Niners are looking at this situation the way I have been looking at it for months. Like, Brandon, great player, but it doesn't make sense to spend all that money on him. It makes sense to draft a wide receiver, commit to Juwan Jennings. So I don't know. This isn't the best news for Brandon Ayuk. Or maybe it's great if he wants to leave the Niners.
Okay, I have a working theory, and this kind of hit me as I was doing a show 2 days ago. You tell me what you think. I think not only are the 49ers surprised that Brandon Ayuk is presumably in this 30-year annual average range, but I think even Brandon Ayuk is surprised that the money has climbed to this point. And the reason that I say that is the 49ers took calls on potentially trading Brandon Ayuk during the draft. However, they never were serious about wanting to move him. Well, one day before the draft is when Amon-Ra St. Brown got his deal. Who knows, like, what point during that draft process they knew the full deal. I don't remember the timeline there. But what I do know is he got paid the day before the draft. Well,
yeah,
the 49ers at that time were in full draft mode, trying to figure out who they want. not really wanted to trade Brandon Ayuk, knowing at that point maybe Brandon Ayuk's number was at 26 or 27 million, hypothetically. Now you fast forward, they get through the draft, they take a deep breath, they revisit the negotiation table, and it's like, well, yesterday's price is not today's price. Guess what? Now we want 30. And they're like, whoa, we never expected to get here. And Brandon Ayuk's probably looking at it going, yeah, well, I also didn't expect to get here, but Amon-Ra St. Brown just reset the market for me. I think that not only are the 49ers surprised at the number, but I honestly think that Brandon Ayuk is surprised at the number that he's probably going to get, or at least is trying to get.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just, it seems like the Niners missed their opportunity to trade Brandon Ayuk. Like, they wouldn't get anything back for him now that would be useful. He's going to be on the team. I just think it's interesting. Like, Christian McCaffrey's not there. Brandon Ayuk's not there. They have grievances. And the Niners are like, you know what? We hear you guys. But right now, we got to work it out with Juwan. Sorry. I think that's great. Because you know what? It's funny, too. Like, of all those three players, Juwan was the best in the Super Bowl. And it's just one game. But this team clearly can't get over it. They're trying to say they're over it. They look morose in person. And Juwan Jennings, he's back. He had a great Super Bowl. He can't hang his head. I don't know. It's interesting.
When week one kicks off Monday Night Football for the San Francisco 49ers, does Ayuk have a new deal in place? What's your thoughts?
My feeling, I think I already made a bet with my dad about this. My feeling is that this is going sideways, and the answer is no. It's I'm usually wrong, but this one feels different. It feels like Brandon Ayuk is more motivated to leave than Debo was, or is that fair to say? I don't know. He just feels like he's aggrieved. Like, Debo got targets here. He just wanted to get money. Brandon, I feel like he feels he can't really spread his wings and become the full version of himself on this team. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, follow-up question. If he doesn't have a new deal in place, does he play week one?
No. I mean, he could... Am I wrong? I mean, no. He could hold out. Didn't Chris Jones hold out a couple games?
He can hold out, I think, 11 games maybe? And still accrue a year? I want to say it's 11 games. So, yeah. And so, Jones did miss week one last year. That is true. And then they finally got a deal done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, for me, I think a deal gets done. I also don't think it's 30 annual average, which is what it sounds like he's seeking. But we'll see, man. It does. This one does feel different because I feel like Ayuk is dug in, but he's not playing the same games that Debo played where it's like, well, trade me. But really, I don't want to be traded. I just want to get paid. He's just like, listen, I'm just about my business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait for a deal to come. And if it doesn't come, then I'll play hardball. I don't know. This one does feel a little bit different, but I still think a deal gets done personally.
Okay. Let's keep this going then. What's the impact on Debo? Debo's the one guy. Let's slow down for a second. Debo's at camp. Debo's practicing. No one else is that's a captain. If they trade him after June 1, they save a bunch of cap space. There was some speculation when they drafted Ricky Pearsall that they drafted him to replace Debo in a year. What does this mean for Debo?
I don't think anything's changed for Debo. I think the impact of Debo has already been seen, and the fact that he's come in phenomenal shape and he's here as early as possible. I think Debo knows that this is most likely his last year with the 49ers. Now, anything can change. But as of right now, it stands to reason that this is probably his last year. And if that is the case, then he's coming in ready as if it's his last year and he's auditioning. So I actually don't think anything changes for Debo, except for the fact that maybe he's looking at it going, okay, now we know that Jennings is going to be here past this year. We're going to assume that Ayuk will be here past this year. Obviously, they just drafted a rookie. If anything, this cements my thought that I'm most likely not coming back.
Yeah. Part of me feels like there's, well, I feel like there's one of two reasons why Debo's out there right now. Is it because he's just a hard worker and he's a great captain? Yeah, maybe. Or he really wants to prove the Niners wrong or for drafting Pearsall. I mean, it was kind of a shot at him. He's motivated to play here, and this is the fire he needed to be the best he can for the 49ers. Or Jennings got locked up. Ayuk's about to get extended. Pearsall's here for a while. He's showing teams around the league like, hey, I'm ready to go. Come get me. Adam Peters, we're friends. Mike McDaniel, I love you. D'Amico, I'm what you need. And I'm in great shape. And I'm motivated. And I changed my number.
And I changed my number. The most important part of that was he changed really important. His number. I love how you just threw that in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that because without Jennings being here, there was a possibility that Debo could be back next year, Grant. Looking at Pearsall, again, he's probably better to be slotted as the slot receiver. So you're looking at it saying, all right, if I'm Debo, if Jennings is gone, Pearsall slides to the slot. We got Ayuk, we got me. Now, it's not likely, but there's a chance that I could come back in that scenario. But now that Jennings is there, it's like, well, clearly Pearsall is here to take my job. So that's what we're going after.
Okay, before we get to the last topic, let's do a couple super chats. Brother Bob says, I'm here, damn it. JJ is the most important. Stop.
Perfect.
He is the most important. Caden Camarota says, hey, Grant, I love the video's and astute analysis. I want to see Jordan Mason succeed, play more. He's the most underrated player on the team. Yeah. He's been pretty good in camp so far. The thing about Jordan Mason that they knock with him is... you know, he doesn't do much in the pass game. He does a whole lot more in the pass game than Elijah Mitchell does.
Yeah, you know, last year, though, Grant, I remember at training camp, he was often not on the same page at all with this quarterback. Like, multiple times he would run, like, a Texas route, true, and the quarterback was thinking. So that was kind of my theory of, like, all right, maybe he's not playing, not because he's not talented. Clearly he is. But he doesn't understand his assignments on third down. And that's why he's struggling to see the field, because we know how Kyle is. It's like, if you don't know the ins and outs of everything, you're not going to be on the field. And so that was kind of the thought process there. Well, maybe this year coming in, figuring the right routes out, maybe he's better with the blocking assignments, what have you. That's how he's going to get on the field. Because from a talent standpoint, I think it's clear that Mason, just as a runner, is the second best running back on this team. But there are other things that are expectations from Kyle Shanahan.
All I'm saying, I've seen him in two practices this offseason. He looks extremely improved as a receiver. I think he got the picture. You want to get on the field, you need to be a complete back, not just a running back who just averages 6 yards a carry. Like, sorry, you got to do a little more. So I'm just saying, I think he's improved. Hey, I got to restart Google Chrome real quick. So just hold it down for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, you're fine.
Is that cool? Thank you.
Yeah, you're fine. All right. Well, since he's not here, let's take this baby over. All right. For me, I don't know if this is where he's going to go, if he's going to get into the Pearsall thing, or if we're going to move on to the next topic. But I think the biggest impact's on Pearsall. As I stated, I think that Ricky is better to be a slot receiver. He does struggle with being pressed on the outside. If he is going to be asked to fill in for Debo and be an outside receiver next year, I think that is an area that he's going to have to improve. And I just think he's better suited to be a slot. Jennings now being here for 2 years. Does that mean we're only going to get 3 good years from Pearsall before he's 29 years old and reaching that second deal? Or is it a situation where he just improves and is your outside receiver? But I don't know, man. This Jennings signing to me impacts Pearsall more than it does Debo or Ayuk.
Well, let's talk about the impact on Pearsall in particular. Do you think Pearsall woke up this morning, saw the news, and was like, what the heck?
maybe a little bit. I mean,
I thought I was supposed to be replacing this guy in a year or now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Pearsall probably didn't look too much into it, in the sense that he is just trying to learn the offense and be a part of this team. But I look at it and say, what the heck? This to me makes the Pearsall pick even more perplexing, because I was already perplexed by it anyways. Like, all right, you took a receiver in round one. He probably is a slot receiver. That's a little rich for a slot receiver. But now, all right, well, if Jennings is here, then the only way he gets on the field a lot without injury is by playing outside. But is that where he's best suited? I mean, you want to put the players in the best position to be successful. I don't know, man. This whole Pearsall pick to me has been confusing from day one, and it just got a little bit more confusing.
Yeah, like, what do they need insurance for? Like, what is the plan here? Like, you drafted a guy, theoretically, Jennings, Debo, and Ayuk could all be on this team this year and next year. All three of them. So what's Pearsall here for? Or does the Pearsall pick imply that one of those three guys won't be here next year?
You know that right now, if Ayuk were to get paid, Ayuk and Debo are paid like elite number ones. Mm-hmm. Jennings is paid like a mid-tier number two. And Pearsall's paid like a high-end number three. So that's correct. Overpaying for three of your four guys minimum at this point.
Right, because Pearsall's a first-round pick. So he's on a rookie deal, but he's like an expensive rookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like the most expensive, like, number four receiver in the league.
For a team that doesn't throw a lot, this is, it just, I don't know, man. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't.
Well, I mean, if you listen to what Chris Forrester said today at his press conference, it makes a little bit of sense about how the Niners want to invest in their, should we talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about
Chris Forrester. I don't know how to add more banners. Oh, there it is. Okay, Chris Forrester. Sorry, I just got a MacBook Pro and I'm learning it. It's going pretty well though for the most part. So he was asked, like, how come your team doesn't spend high draft picks on offensive linemen? And if you just ask Chris Forrester a question, he'll give you a 10-minute answer. It's not like he's going to beat around the bush. He's like, well, you know, the way I feel is it's better to invest in players who score touchdowns than players who don't. Like, how good does your right guard really need to be if you can just flip it to Debo and he can go 60 yards for a touchdown? So you're sort of trying to look for offensive linemen who are good enough. I mean, he really said that. You're trying to figure out what is that line. Players who are good enough. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, every once in a while, if you can get Trent Williams, you do. But other than that, you can look for guys in rounds five, round six, that he, the great Chris Forrester, can develop. I don't know. I think it's kind of a rich philosophy to have when you lost two Super Bowls, primarily because your offensive line wasn't good enough and you haven't updated this philosophy. I don't know. What do you think?
So when I wrote down what he had said, I had put good enough in quotes and then good enough that you can survive it. That was literally his words. He said, there's a line, and as long as you are just above it or good enough, you can survive it. It's like, wow, that's what you guys all think of the offensive line. This, you would think if you asked the offensive line coach, out the offensive line, that he would say, well, yeah, of course. I mean, selfishly, I would love for every high pick to be a offensive lineman, but I know that there are other positions, and I'm here to coach, and that's my job, and I make players better, and I think we got a good group of guys, we'll be okay, whatever. But he went the opposite. He's like, no, I would prefer to just draft guys in round 3, 4, and 5 because I can coach them up and it's good enough, we can survive it. So this,
but isn't
is
that sort of like a humble brag? Like, yeah, I got this. All I need. Give me a guy, I can handle the rest. I mean, isn't that kind of what he was saying? Like, as long as they got me, they don't need to invest in this position. I'm the investment.
Maybe, but you want to know what stood out to me the most out of what Forrester said?
Wow.
Which is the direct opposite of what Tom Brady just said 2 days ago on Colin's show. He said that he had a friend that worked for Washington that at the time had gone to Baltimore, I think as a quality control guy. And he said that at the time, he and this quality control coach were talking about the Patriots. And he said, you can write 5 X's on the field, and it doesn't matter who those X's are. That's the offensive lineman. As long as you've got number 12 at quarterback, you've got Wes Welker, and you've got Randy Moss. And as long as you've got that in place, it doesn't matter. Well, I got news for you, Forrester. First of all, that team didn't win a Super Bowl. That's number one. Number two, Tom Brady was just on the Cowherd Show and was asked specifically about the offensive line. And he said it is the most important thing on the field. He said, you show me a team with a great offensive line and I'll show you a team that's set to win a Super Bowl. That's what he said. And then he took it even further, talked about how important the center position was. And then he said, if you don't have an elite offensive line, you better be great everywhere else if you want to compete. That to me was actually talking about the 49ers, not intentionally, but that's what the 49ers are doing. Instead of having an elite offensive line, they're like, we'll just be elite everywhere around the offensive line and that will work. Well, it's gotten you close, but it hasn't gotten you over the hump. It's just funny to hear him talk about how Tom Brady didn't need an offensive line, but 2 days earlier, Tom Brady literally is saying, yeah, you need a great offensive line for all quarterbacks, young and old. It doesn't matter. Get them a good offensive line and invest in it.
Can we also talk about the other fallacy in Forster's argument?
Yeah.
Comparing Tom Brady to Brock Purdy. I mean, no disrespect to Brock, but what? Are you kidding? Yeah. No, I mean, there was something to that 20, 25 years ago when Tom Brady was at his peak and Peyton Manning was at his peak. Those guys could get the ball out of their hands so quickly and they could read a defense before the snap. And a lot of times they could make a mediocre offensive line look better than it was. But those are two of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And it's a little rich to put Brock Purdy in their conversation because he went to a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think you should do that. He's a good quarterback, though.
Peyton Manning also had Jeff Saturday. It's always there, right? You talk about important centers and guys that you can trust and grow with. Saturday is one of the best to do it. So, yeah, I mean, it is important to have an offensive line. I just found that dichotomy interesting. It's like Forrester, 2 days after a five-minute rant about how bad quarterbacks need offensive linemen, and you show me a team with a great offensive line, and I'll show you a team that's primed to win a Super Bowl. That's Tom Brady. And 2 days later, Forrester's like, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady didn't need a great offensive line. He's Tom Brady. It's like, well, that's not what Tom Brady just said. And last time I checked, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and Tom Brady has seven rings, and y'all are sitting here with none. It's not working.
True. Kles Lemperio says, don't forget Debo on the Netflix wide receiver show, too. It's true. He's got all kind of motivation.
Ooh, that's a good point. Is that recording this year, though? And he's not... I'm confused by that show.
I don't
thought it
know
was
for
coming
sure.
out from last year, and it's, I don't know.
Do I have to watch it? I do. Yeah. I think I do.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Stephen Pryor says, I think we will see more four wide receiver sets this year, less Juice, and three tight ends. Jennings can block.
Oh, well, then good thing they brought Juice back for no reason.
Four wide receiver sets? So that means taking Kittle off the field?
Well, yeah, because CMC, right? I mean, you're either taking CMC or Kittle off the field. I don't know why you would do that.
I mean, I guess if Kittle gets hurt, they might do something like that because God knows what they got behind George Kittle at tight end. But I don't know, man. Does that make you better? It's, again, they pass the ball efficiently, but it's all based on teams putting eight in the box and overcommitting to stop the run and play action being so effective off of that. There's so much less you can do in the run game schematically with four wide receivers on the field. It's just how many blocking combinations can you execute from that look? Like two, three, inside zone, outside zone? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think it's their identity. And I don't think Kyle wants to really change anything about his offense. How much has his offense evolved schematically in the last 7 years?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question.
Essentially the same. It's essentially the same. No, I mean, it's still good. He tweaks it, but it's not. We thought there were going to be wholesale changes with Trey Lance, and I think Kyle Shanahan thought there would be too. And then he abandoned that project quickly because, you know, he decided he saw Brock Purdy practice seven times and was like, that's our best quarterback. I'm not going to tell anyone other than the owner, but that's our best quarterback. and didn't want to make Brock Purdy the starter right away. Wanted it to happen naturally, of course. So he just ran Trey Lance between the tackles over and over and over and over and over. You ever see that Marshawn Lynch clip? People don't like when you run into their face over and over and over and over. That's what Kyle did with Trey Lance. And then, whoops, he got hurt. Funny thing, that's football. And soon Brock Purdy was on the field because Kyle saw it. That's neither here nor there, though. He saw the vision. 808 Niners says, this shows how much of a clown show Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are. They're always reactive and never proactive. They wasted two draft picks on wide receivers that are insurance policies this year and maybe next year. Make it make sense. Well,
I was just going to say, I remember about a year and a half ago, we did a whole show on the 49ers. Are they a reactive or a proactive organization? And the argument was they're a reactive organization. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Sean O'Leary, just saying, what's up, fellas? New job, working my ass off, less time for Niners content. Hope you both are well. Thanks for making it rain, Sean.
You too, Sean. Thank you.
Donates $20 to the cause. Brother Really Kyle Bob says Forrester can coach mid-talent because I don't know what he means. I don't know what that's illustrating at all. Official BNA Music 88 says Chris backhandedly dissing the O-line is wild. I just think he's my favorite coach ever. I think he's just great. I wish more coaches were that candid. He doesn't.
Remember when everybody was saying like, no, I mean, Trent's not tipping plays and it's not that big of a deal. And he comes out and he's like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we've been working with him for a while on it. He certainly is tipping. It's like, okay, geez.
Most coaches, like there's a filter and you can see them thinking about all the things they're not going to say. I don't think Forster has that.
He just gets excited to talk, man.
I can't believe they made him a coordinator and put him in front of the microphone once a week because he has no filter. At best, it's like a lecture on football philosophy, and you learn a lot. But I think from at worst, from Kyle's perspective, it's like, man, say less. But I'll never complain because he's my favorite. He's the best.
Yeah.
Brother Bob, Iggy and Nails, shirt reveal next Niners After Dark. I haven't gotten it yet. I can't wait.
It's on the way.
Can't wait. Dazza says, using a first-round pick on Pearsall without upgrading the offensive line or other needed positions is looking better and better now. Well, okay, let's get off Pearsall for a second because he's the new guy and he looked fine the last two practices, honestly. Let's talk about George Kittle. He was injured for like half of last year. He played through a core muscle injury. Niners didn't really detect it. Anyway, George really sacrificed a lot last year. He played through injury. People didn't even know. And George has been sacrificing a lot for years. Targets, touches. He plays offensive line a lot. I mean, there's so much he has to do for this team, and he just shuts the hell up about it. And not only that, he's got this like upbeat, I don't really care, everything's great, isn't life grand attitude. Everything's going to work out, I'm making it back to the Super Bowl. I will be back. I got stuff to prove. And then he made it back. And it seems like part of him kind of died. Not like the young, exuberant, undefeated part. And ever since then, he's had this grizzled demeanor. And he was asked about it today by Matt Maiocco. Like, you've never seemed this affected by anything in football before. You've always been so unaffected. Like, what about this one hurts so much? And he, I don't know. It seems like a lot of these vets feel this way. But when he asked about the state of the franchise, talked a lot about the players and the core that they have, the team within the team. And he mentioned great coaches once, but you know who he never mentioned once in that press conference ever? And I don't know that he's mentioned them in a long time.
Kyle.
Now, George used to be Kyle's guy. Like if Kyle had any criticism, George would be the first person in the media to explain why Kyle was a genius in schematic terms. Like if you know ball, you know Kyle's great. I think he trusted Kyle for a long time. And I think kind of not only that they lost the Super Bowl, that George wasn't really allowed to have an impact on it much. I wonder how he feels about Kyle now. What did you get from George's press conference?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is he made it pretty clear like they need to win now. The team, it's interesting because we talk about it as, you know, fans or in your case, journalists, content creators, what have you. And I think we all know that, but you wonder if the team has the same urgency. And it's clear, like, George Kittle does have that urgency. He's saying we need to win now. He also talked about that the physical side is a little bit tougher than the mental side for him at this stage in his career. But you want to know the biggest thing that I took away from his press conference today is just how subdued he was. I mean, I think you nailed it. It just, about his demeanor that is just, it's different. And maybe it'll change as they get to training camp. Maybe it's because he's rehabbing and he's frustrated with that and he's not able to be on the field. And, you know, once he's back, maybe he'll be okay. But right now he came across very, very subdued and was just like, yeah, you know, I'm enjoying waking up in life. I enjoy waking up knowing that my wife is healthy and that I get to play football and, you know, I've got great teammates. And it's like he's focusing on like the little things to be happy about, because without those little things right now,
be devastated.
You can almost go into like a devastation or depressed mode over it. And so,
and he was talking about how he was like commiserating with Joe Staley and Garrett Celek, who've been there and lost two Super Bowls. Like, he's in like a support group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Two-time Super Bowl Losers Anonymous. He goes to that and talks about things. With Joe Staley, stands up. Hi, my name's George Kittle, and I've lost two Super Bowls. And everyone goes...
The courage.
Sorry, I don't mean to make light of it, but like, seriously, he's got grief, man. I get it. And it seems like it kind of has that attitude of a guy who's been let down by his mentor. Like, he's known Kyle since he was 23 years old. Trusted Kyle. He believed in Kyle. He thought, like, not Kyle did make him rich, and Kyle did make him a household name, but he thought Kyle would make him a champion. And two Super Bowl appearances, didn't really get much of an opportunity in the second one. I just got to think he looks at the guy a little bit differently now. Like, I put my career in your hands. I sacrificed so much, and you didn't return the favor. So now I'm jaded. I'm jaded Kittle now. Remember when The Rock went from being the people's champ to the corporate champ?
Yeah, of course.
That's George now.
Yeah, I don't want to look too much into it now, because I really think it could be tied to the fact that he's rehabbing and he's not able to play the game that he loves. And like I said, it could easily change once he gets to training camp. His attitude might change or whatever, but you've seen him like show frustration in the past, and it's been around the quarterback position. It's like, oh my, another quarterback question.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never had this demeanor where it's like, ah, shucks, you know, I'm just happy to be breathing. It's like, oh, okay. Like, we went from like, we think we're the best team in the league to just, sure is nice to smell grass in the morning. Wow, that's a change in life. So we'll see how it changes, or if it does when he's able to play. But man, it is different.
He used a metaphor that Chris Kocurek used, and I feel like a lot of the players in the people in the organization are using it. Said, oh, you know, you just got to climb the mountain again. And the way they say it, it sounds like daunting. Like,
yeah,
we did it. We just did it. We just finished like 3 months ago. We got to the peak. We got to the summit. Somehow we didn't get the trophy. We're all getting older. It's exhausting. Like, I'm not ready to start doing this climb just yet. I'm going to watch OTAs. I'm just not ready emotionally, physically. That's the vibe I'm getting from the players. I call them the Cabo Clique. They call themselves the core, the inner core of this team, which I think is kind of messed up. You're one team. You're not a team within a team. But the team within a team is talking about letting go of the past and trying to climb the mountain again. I don't know, man. I don't know.
You almost have to, there's a mental side of this whole Brock Purdy thing that I really hadn't thought about until you were just talking, which is Brock Purdy's very young. He's made it to an NFC championship. He's made it to a Super Bowl. He doesn't know anything else. Like,
right.
For all we know, he could be thinking like, this is easy. Like, I can do this every year. You know, I'll definitely be back. But he's got a group of veterans that know that this is their last shot. You almost wonder how important his leadership truly is going to be this year, and his young vibrance of like this confidence that I know we can do it again. and how much that being the quarterback is going to have to kind of pull some of these veterans through at least the first couple weeks until they start winning again and feeling good about it. You know what I mean?
I feel like the 2023 Niners had this unique aura because they could tell themselves going into last season, we've never been beaten when Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey are healthy. Like, we should have won the Super Bowl last year. The only reason we didn't is because one guy got hurt, and they're going to stay healthy this year. If they stay healthy, we're going to prove that we're the best team. And they did stay healthy, and they did go to the Super Bowl, and they lost. And so I think it's hard for them to say why they lost and to say what they can do differently. What could possibly go differently this year that would lead to a Super Bowl victory? What is it? You got Brock. You love Brock. You're not getting a better quarterback. That's the quarterback you want. You're not getting a better running back. You're not getting a better head coach. You're not getting a better tight end. You got Ricky Pearsall. That's who you got. And he might be great, but he's not helping you this year. So what are you going to do differently? Everyone's just a year older and a year more tired. I can understand why in late May, a lot of these 30-year-old players are like,
yeah. I mean, it is a big difference, you know, and who's showing up and who's not. And it is understandable why they're not going to be there. Question is how much does it impact them, if at all? We're going to find out. It's going to be fun this season.
All right, let's do some sleeper picks, and then we'll get to your questions for me from OTAs. So yes, tomorrow, we got Dallas and Minnesota. Dallas is up 3-1 with a chance to close it out. Wow. Anthony Edwards, what are you going to do about it? 28.5 points. Wow.
He's going to have to have more.
He's going to have to have more.
He's going to have to. If they want to win, he's going to have more. And they're at
okay,
home,
they I want believe. To win, but it doesn't mean they're going to win. They could lose.
No, but I believe they're also going back home in a do or die situation. And
I believe you're right about that. Okay. I'm just pushing back to make sure that you're solid.
Yeah, I'm okay. Solid.
Okay, Luka Doncic.
Less.
Throwaway game. Doesn't have to score that much, but he's been pretty consistent. 30.5.
Less.
All day. Kyrie Irving. 23.5 points.
This is like the hardest.
Do you go less on both of the other Mavs?
What's his total for points, rebounds, and assists?
31.5.
Let's go more on that. I feel better about more on that than I do. He might just get there in points. Like, that's a possibility. So
Okay, I like that. That was a savvy play. And let me just show, this is the home of savvy plays. Two contests, one. I just started, though.
I was just going to say, it was a bad play for a guy that's never won.
Who else on Minnesota matters, man? How do they make it this far? Mike Conley? He's my age.
No. Who's Carl Anthony Towns?
Okay, Carl Anthony Towns. He's got three names. I like a guy with three names. Sure.
Let's go more on the points. 19.5.
You better. Is it his name is Carl Anthony? It's not Carl Anthony Towns?
It's just Cat. Big Cat.
So he has two first names? Two last names. Sure. Two first names. That's interesting.
A hyphen first name. Yeah.
I think you and I should now have hyphenated first names.
I don't even have a middle name, so we're going to have to make something up.
Wasn't there a wrestler when we were kids named Mark Anthony?
Yeah. He was like the powerbomb guy, I think.
There you go. Okay, so let's hold on. We're going to go more on Carl Anthony, and we're going to lock it in. $10 to win potentially $96.80. Do I need to add money? Am I out? Oh, well. Later.
You have a balance. That's hold on, the hold on, one. Hold on. Do five. What? Do five. Just do five. You've got $9.50.
I got $5. I got five on it. Bingo. Bingo. You guys want to play? There's a QR code, which is so high tech. And there's also the promo code COHN. If it's your first time using a deposit, making a deposit, get a deposit match up to $100. Which means you put in 100, they put in 100, and then you just wagered 200. That's how it works. Okay, you got questions for me?
I do have questions for you. So First question I have, Brock Purdy centric. Do you feel like, remember last year he was coming off the UCL tear and he didn't have the offseason and, you know, he was throwing some floaters and all the other things, but now he's had a full season and a full offseason. He's bulked up. Do you feel like he has more velocity in his throws than what he's had in the past? It's hard to tell, right? But
yeah, like I don't want to knock him. He definitely is in great shape. And at this time last year, he wasn't even throwing, but he's not throwing lasers, but he seems like he's got enough. I mean, that wasn't the issue today. He overthrew a deep pass and he telegraphed a throw over the middle to a linebacker, but it's not like he's really struggling out there. I think, yeah, it's fair to say he's got a little bit more juice this year than he had in the past. And one thing that's real apparent with him, his legs. You compare his legs to all the other quarterbacks on the team. It's like no comparison. It's like, do you guys even do even Romanian split squats at all? Or is that Bulgarian? I forget which Eastern Bloc country it is, but.
But he need. Bulgarian. I mean, he needs to be felt like that, right? He's a little bit smaller in stature. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of where he has to generate power. So yeah, he is. He's definitely built. He's built.
Quadzilla.
Sure. Yeah, Quadzilla. That looks good.
You know who didn't have quads? No, did he? Sam Darnold. I was like, what are you doing?
He has skinny legs.
Yeah, it's like you look like me. No, he was he was bigger than me. I don't know why I compare people to me, but if you look like me, it's not good. Ricky Pearsall, he passed the looks like me test. He's way more athletic than me.
There you go. All right.
First impression of Ricky Pearsall, he's got some juice. Like, he's not short. He's not a small target. He's not slow. He's a little explosive. He can jump a little bit. Like, he's a solid all-around wide receiver. Is he a number one? I don't know. But as a number three on this team where you're worried about everyone but him, he could be like dangerous in a way that Jennings just isn't. You know, like Jennings is good, but he's going to get you 11 yards.
Well, and Pearsall's a willing blocker as well. Right. He's not as good or as physical as Jennings, but he's definitely willing to get dirty. So you do have to look.
He looks extremely solid.
Yeah. Good.
Super solid. Yeah.
Fine. I just hope for better than solid at 31.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
And we'll see. It's still so early. All right.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to hold you to any of these takes. Maybe these guys in the chat will. That's up to them. But it is early. But if you had to make a guess, there's five players that are vying for starting at corner right now. And it's Yadam, Rakia Sin, Ambry Thomas, Darrell Luter Jr., and Bernardo Green. If I were to say, hey, you can take the young guys, so Luter and Green, or you can take the vets, Yadam, Yasin, Thomas, would you take one player out of those vets or would you take one player out of those young guys to be the starter week one?
The young guys. I feel like, I don't know. We've seen a lot of Ambry Thomas. He makes some plays during games, but man, no, they don't trust him. They don't want him on the field. Really. They had Logan Ryan on the field over him in the Super Bowl. So not him. And to me, Yadam's very similar. Like if he's playing zone coverage, off coverage, he's a spectator. And as a press man coverage corner, like you really trust him and Ambry Thomas to be that aggressive against an NFL starting wide receiver. So they don't inspire a lot of confidence. Renardo Green is so interesting to me because he plays with like too much confidence. It's the kind of guy you have to rein back as opposed to Ambry, where you're like, hey, Ambry, compete. Your career is on the line. Like, Renardo is actually competing. And with him, it's like, oh, well, did he get there early? Is that a flag? Like, that you can work with. And in the previous practice, he got flagged. Or I believe he got flagged. Today, he had a pass breakup on a pass over the middle intended for Ronnie Bell, who was on the team last year. So I want to see him against Debo, Ayuk, Jennings. Like, I want to see him against Jennings. If he can hold his own against Jennings, he should be the starting nickel for this team. And I think he's going to end up being the starting nickel for this team. They may do whatever they want to do week one, but eventually they'll figure out that the third best corner on this team is him. And I say that having seen him practice three times.
Yeah, but as a corner, I think the number one thing is confidence. It really is. So I think that's great. I think if he is starting very early in the season, then that can kind of save the draft class in year one, because we don't know what's going to happen with Pooney or Pearsall. Probably injuries are going to have to lead to them getting a lot of playing time. So you would hope at least one of your top three picks can start on this team and make an impact or play a lot of snaps, and maybe Green's that guy. So I like it. It's good to hear.
To me, he's the most intriguing rookie.
Okay.
I think, like, nothing against Pearsall or Cowing. They're intriguing, but intriguing in the sense that I think he should be playing. I think he should be contributing. He's a rookie that matters on this team. This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations, and he could be a guy playing 70% of the snaps. Because if it isn't him, it's freaking Ambry or Isaac Yadam, who's been in the league a while and had like a good half a season or a season, maybe kind of allegedly. I don't even know. We'll see.
The Yadam hype when he was signed was so bizarre to me. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Isn't he like 28 years old and has had a decent season-ish? I mean,
ish.
Come on.
If he was that good, would they have drafted a corner in round two? I mean, I don't know. It's the highest they've drafted a corner in a long time. I know it's a glorified third round pick, but if he can play, why would you wait? Like, because you got Ambry? Because you spent a 1 year deal on Isaac Yadam? Like, if he can play, he's on the field. Yeah, gotta be.
That's great. Yeah. I love it. Okay.
Pearsall. Let's do a couple super chats before you ask me about the wide receivers.
Okay. All right.
Brother Bob says big ups to KB Toys getting out the big
house.
KB Toys?
Like the guy in the chat, KB Toys, or like actual KB Toys?
808 Niners is sounding like we might be in for a tough season, but hey, we can take our top 10 pick and draft another wide receiver in the first round. That's how they do business, man. They want more touchdowns. The coach says no middle name, no Scarface, and the I'm done.
He's saying I have no middle name. I dropped the bomb on him today that I've never seen Scarface, and he was thoroughly disappointed in me.
You've never seen Scarface?
No.
My friend is so mad at me that I haven't seen Heat. Like, every time he's like, "When you haven't seen Heat yet?" I'm like, "Man, it's 3 hours. I'll carve out 3 hours for Heat soon, I promise." Thing. So you need to carve out 3 hours for Scarface, and I need to carve out 3 hours for Heat. Let's kind of soft agree that we'll both watch these movies in the next week, and we can talk about them on the next show. Have you seen Heat?
No.
You haven't seen Heat either. So that doesn't help.
That's 6 hours. It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Absolutely not. Dazza says you don't spend a first round pick on a third wide receiver option. No, you don't. But when you hear how the Niners think about receivers and offensive linemen, it explains a lot. Brother Bob says, Dazza, if you're Kyle Levy, do you 3D does 3D chess equals zero Super Bowl wins?
Jeez.
I like when people in the chat have fights with each other through the super chats. Okay, back to our topics.
All right. 49ers drafted two receivers, Pearsall and Cowing. And I know that Cowing wasn't there for wave one, so maybe by default, Pearsall's just the guy that's shown more. But right now, who would you say looks a little bit sharper? And you can say Ty.
It's early. I mean, they've only gotten let me tell you what I've seen from the two of them.
Okay.
Pearsall hasn't had an opportunity to make a physical catch over the middle. He just hasn't gotten the ball yet. And that's what I'm waiting to see from him. Like, how tough are you? I know they said you were tough in college. You thought you were tough in college. Like, how tough are you? Cowing's tough. I thought today. He's small. And so throwing the ball to him over the middle is dangerous. The first time, it was one of the third play of 11 on 11s. Purdy goes to Cowing up the seam. It's a little high. And Ambry breaks it up, although it wouldn't have been completed anyway. So high margin for error throwing for Cowing over the middle. But later on, they had like a trip set. You kind of imagine the play de bomb. And kind of like, so you have like
Yeah.
And two blitz. Posts and a fly. So he's the guy in the middle. He runs that inside post, gets matched up one-on-one on George Odom. Purdy sticks the throw. No hesitation. Cowan goes up, makes a fully extended catch with his arms out in front of Odom. I mean, he wasn't going to get hit, but he looks like a tough guy. He looks like he plays bigger than his frame. I like Cowan. That being said, it is dangerous having a 5'8 receiver. You got to kind of pick your spots because he's just 5'8. Cowing, I mean, Pearsall seems like he's 6'1 with hops. Like he could go up and get a pass over the middle. I just want to see him do it. I haven't seen him do it in person yet. So that's what I'm waiting for. I saw Cowing do it today. It was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Pearsall definitely has some acrobatic catches on film, and I think you'll see one or two of those at training camp. People get really excited, and that'll be the talk of the town. And
yeah,
then he'll have his.
I'm waiting to see that. Next year. I want to see that because he's not going to be a big yak guy.
No,
he's going to be a guy who makes acrobatic catches. So I'm waiting. Cowing will be a yak guy.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to throw a wide receiver screen, you're not throwing that to Pearsall. You throw it to Cowing. You're going to run a reverse. That's Cowing.
That's fair.
So. Pearsall, go make some credible catches like Jennings and Ayuk do.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like either of these players that we just talked about are going to be the player that you're going to bring up here. But if you had to say one rookie that was drafted, not the undrafted guys, because I don't think you can be undrafted and underwhelmed, but a drafted rookie that is underwhelmed, is there anybody, maybe nobody fits that mold, but is there anybody that fits that mold for you?
I've been underwhelmed with the running back, Isaac Garendo. And I'm not a scout, and it's not full contact football. They're not even wearing pads. So maybe I'm way off here. But what I see is I can see that he's fast. But if you're going to compare him to like Raheem Mostert, who was undrafted and didn't play a whole lot of running back and kind of learned the position as he was in the NFL, two things you could say about Mostert, he was extremely decisive as a runner, and he had good vision. So if he could see daylight, he could find daylight, and he wouldn't mess around. He would just make the one cut and go. That's a skill. It's not so easy. I mean, a lot of running backs are really indecisive. And with this guy, it seems like of all the running backs, he's the one who will have the reps where he slips in the backfield or he runs into an offensive lineman or he just seems like a project. And I think they understand that, and I think they feel there's not a lot of tread in his tires. They have a good running back coach. They have Christian McCaffrey. They could take their time with Isaac Garendo, and maybe over time he'll be great for them the way Raheem Mostert was like developed into a running back. But right now I'm like, he's not playing. You can't even compare him to Jordan Mason. At least that's from my amateur scouting perspective.
Wow. Okay.
Like as a receiver, as a runner, Jordan Mason is a much better, all around better player right now. But he's a rookie, so you can't. It's OTAs. Let's see what he looks like in preseason.
If he's not on the team in 2 years, I mean, at what point do you just tell Kyle you are done? We're done trading and drafting running backs that you like. We're done with it. It's not working clearly.
Yeah, you're not allowed to trade up for a running back ever again.
You're 0-for-4 on running backs that you like and just have to have.
Now, I want to be open-minded with Garendo because Bobby Turner like gave him, it seemed like he scouted him himself. And I was listening to Bobby Turner talk about him, and Bobby Turner pretty much said, look, I can coach this guy. He's coachable. He's got the traits. Give me some time. So when a coach like that talks like that, I'm open-minded. All I'm saying is what I've seen through 3 practices, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time. Or maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like, I don't know, like you can see with these outside zone runs, the guys who make the one cut and confidently go upfield, and the guys who are like rocking back and forth and seem to be hesitating, like that's Garendo. And so his speed, he doesn't seem to play as fast as Jordan Mason, who runs like a 4.6. There was a play today where Garendo slipped into the backfield and went face first into an offensive lineman's butt. I'm sorry. It was like a butt fumble.
happened. Yeah, I'm curious to see. He definitely has all the traits. That is clear. But man, he didn't start at either team that he was at in college. It's a little concerning.
You know who else had all the traits? Joe Williams.
Well, Joe, a little bit different, I would think. Hopefully, Guerrero actually wants to play football.
Here's what Guerrero has. He ran a 4.33 at 221 pounds.
Sounds great.
That's what he did. And he also had like a good 20-yard shuttle. The three of those things, the Niners are like, wow, what a combination. Yeah, but he's not really a good running back per se. We can coach him up. Maybe they can. That would be quite incredible because where he's starting from right now is pretty
raw.
Like, you know, he's making Cody Schrader look good. Mm-hmm. And oh, the other guy, Patrick Taylor, who's 32 on this team? He came from the Packers.
Oh,
that guy looks better than him.
Yeah, I forgot that they had
signed. Yeah, that guy, yeah. 32.
That guy. He's a veteran in this league.
Patrick Taylor Jr. Mm. I don't know. Let me get his name because I cover the team and he was there doing his thing today.
I'm pretty sure it's Patrick Taylor.
I think it's Patrick Taylor Jr.
It's a good guess.
Patrick Taylor Jr. looked better than him. Sorry. That's what I got.
I think said his name was whatever and would have been like, yeah, that sounds right. No, that sounds good.
Keith Murphy, the Unbeaten, says heat isn't mandatory. However, Scarface is. That's egregious, Jesse.
I'm getting it from the chat. This is crazy. I feel bullied.
It's the thing about Scarface too. Like when you watch it, it's not the greatest movie of all time. It's just iconic. Like, you know, like Al Pacino's accent's kind of bad. And it's very like early 80s in terms of like the cinematography and the music. It's kind of dated and over the top. Classic, man. So many classic lines that you haven't experienced for the first time. Iggy with the NFL blitz reference, da bomb. Was I the only person that ran that play like every time?
Oh, that's every exactly time. Right when you said that, I go, yeah, yeah, blitz. I got you.
Yeah, absolutely. Da bomb, of course. Of course. Yeah. Frank Tom Ocean, member for 14 months. Thank you, Frank. Brother Really Kyle Bob, Jesse Scarface is Forrester favorite because that's okay.
You can't.
Because of the cinematography. Brother Really Kyle Bob says PP's takes are similar to Lame Tardy. Oh, you just instigation.
Come on, Brother Bob.
Come on. All right, that's the end of the show. It's 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's still bright as hell out here on the West Coast. Niners After Dark.
It's dark.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna be.
What do you got going on? You're done, right?
No, I'm actually gonna go live with Coach on my second channel, the NFL channel, Last Second Sports 2. You can check it out. But I want to say this: I'm gonna be in Oregon for 3 weeks at the end of June, and then neither of us will be doing this after dark. It'll be daylight. Very much.
Wow, that'll be great. I like that. That'll be great.
There we go.
Well, thanks for watching, everyone. We'll be back next week, and have a great evening.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.